Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'll be filling in this morning for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is the one and only, the man, the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And, of course, our friend and your friend,
yes,
Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, very good, very good.
It's Tuesday. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it is.
It's Tuesday. You know what today means, right?
It's not Monday.
It's not Monday. Absolutely right. It's not Monday. Listen, yesterday's over with. Tomorrow may never come. Today's a gift. That's why they call it the present. Gotta live in the present. Gotta live in the present. I want to give some shout-outs today. Eddie. Oh, my goodness. The truth. Today, we're going to find out. Today,
is that today right?
We're going to find out.
Are we really going to find out?
Today, we're going to find out. But we're going to give a shout-out to Eddie. Of course, Pastor K. Chara out there in Texas. Klein, hope you're feeling better today. Juan, oh, my goodness. We are continually encouraged by you, brother. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Yes, very much.
Stay strong, stay strong. And, of course, Crystal in the Bronx, we are so excited for you and what God is doing in your life. I tell you, I am just encouraged. I want to share a psalm with you this morning, Psalm 36. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain, and your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. Verse 7, how priceless is your unfailing love. I mean, that look, there was a song back in the day. I don't know if remember that, Richard singing that.
Yeah. How priceless. Every time I read that, that's all I think about it.
How priceless is your unfailing love. I mean, come on. Can't nobody love you like Jesus.
Nope.
I mean, you know, this unconditional love. Proverbs says what a man desires is unfailing love. Love me for me. I mean, you know, I've got some bumps and some bruises and some scars and some some issues here. And God's working on me.
That's right. He's not done yet.
He's not, but love me for me. That's what man desires. That's what we all desire. And God has this amazing, beautiful, you can't even fathom, can't even put a price tag on it. But a love for you that never fails.
Beautiful.
I mean, the love of God is just so amazing. It's so amazing. And you be encouraged today. If you think that nobody loves you, if you think you're lonely, let me tell you, there's one. The Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. During the holidays, when I was a chaplain, believe it or not, the hospitals would be filled during the holidays with people that simply didn't have any place to go. They didn't have any family. They'd find a reason to come to the hospital, believe it or not.
Wow.
Just to be with people.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was just filled. And they were just you know, rejected. There's a lot of people that are rejected out there today. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You may feel like you're all alone. You may feel like a lot of people have left you and your relationships have dwindled down. That may be a good thing. But although you may be lonely, you're never alone. There's a big difference between lonely and alone. Big difference. Yeah. Big difference. And so I want to encourage you today that, listen, God's with you. Cry out to him. Seek him. Seek him, and he will be found. That's a promise.
That's right.
And once you have his love,
that's all you need.
Can't nothing in the world. And remember that song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. You know, and just listen, no man, no person can do it.
That's right.
He fills that void. Right. Well, praise God. Praise God. You know, we do have an awesome program. We have so much to share. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Saints, probably because there wasn't anything great
anyway,
to
report. Anyway, let's go. Move.
No, but we will leave. You see, you notice, Chris? Notice how people just get irritable and start mentioning about the Saints.
It's just an old joke, man. Come on. Get some new material.
Listen, it's worth talking about. I mean, when you wear the same crusted, dusty t-shirt, I got to talk about it.
I don't have it on. Come on now. This is a new one.
A new crusty, dusty, but we'll... Okay, we'll...
We can always talk about the Giants, you know.
They lost last night.
Oh, wow. What's up, man? Come on.
I wasn't aware of that. Did they lose?
They lost.
No, you weren't aware of that? Come on.
Not joking.
Who they lose to?
Washington.
Like Catholic High? Oh, Washington. Ooh. Oh. Ooh.
Washington.
They haven't won a game yet.
Washington's a good team. Good rookie. Good rookie. 22-year-old rookie there. He's doing a great job out there in Washington.
Yeah, RG3.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
Actually, on to really some more important. There's so many things happening in the news. I mean, daily.
Yeah.
Hourly. That, you know, we always say that it's not just important to know the news, but it's important to know what to do with the news you know.
Right.
And we're here at VFN Radio to help you and we're all learning together, but to educate and illuminate and inspire and educate and activate the church, you know, to activate the church. You know, we don't want to fall asleep during the times that we're living in. Definitely don't want to fall asleep. And you know, some months ago on VFN Radio, we talked about pornography. We talked about the crisis that's been going on, and it was a powerful, powerful segment. And we found out that 20% of women and 50% of men, allegedly in the church, are addicted to pornography, and 7 out of 10 lay leaders in the church admitted to visiting adult websites at least once a week.
Mm.
And so this is a profound problem.
Definitely.
But you know what? It's gotten even, you know, it's you're talking about adults, but now, Chris Patton, you know, there's teens and children as young as 11 years old are being exposed to so much pornography today.
Oh, wow.
It's literally it's destroying their innocence. Mm-hmm. It's destroying their innocence. And so we're going to play a segment. CBN did a fantastic report on teens and their being addicted to pornography. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this. We're going to address this. And just go ahead and listen up.
Pornography, from the Greek porneia, which speaks of... sexuality, fornication. It's gotten to be something that is going mainstream and everybody talks about porn. Well, the teens in today's world are growing up in a society that is just filled with pornography. And it's easier to find than ever, thanks to the internet. And many teens, regrettably, starting as early as 9 and 10 years old, are becoming addicted. As Paul Strand reports, that addiction could ruin their lives.
The numbers are staggering. $100 billion worth of porn bought every year. 12% of the world's websites offer the illicit material. And each day, 2.5 billion pornographic emails whiz through cyberspace. And possibly most astounding of all, 67% of men and 49% of women say porn is acceptable.
Our society's just saturated with it.
Former addict CJ Hitz got hooked at age 8. He says, on average, kids first run into porn online at 11 years old. 90% of kids and teens admit they viewed it online, most while doing homework.
Now it's accessible to everyone.
Aubrey Terry's exposure came along with almost constant sexual abuse from her grandfather and an uncle from when she was 2 till she was rescued at 9. Her earliest memory?
Having a bottle and being exposed to that kind of stuff.
Now a member of the Human Trafficking Task Force of Southern Colorado, Terry puts a lot of the blame for today's X-rated epidemic on the internet.
Before, pornography was like this dirty, secretive, dark subculture. It's everyday life.
And it's there all the time. Every second, 28,000 people are online looking, and the sales ring up at $3,000 each second.
Today's generation, younger generation, receives more temptations per second than any other generation in the history of mankind.
So when it comes to pornography in our kids, in this hyper-fast, hyper-technological age, it's not a matter of temptation coming at them every once in a while. but almost every second and with every device. Addiction also claimed CJ's wife, Shelly, for a while. They both now minister to free people from an addiction that's constantly available.
And I'll have teenagers that will confess to me that they have their phones in their beds with them at night, and they're sexting. They're sending pictures of themselves to others. They're sending sexually graphic messages.
And this is hitting just as hard inside the church as out. Youth Minister Andy Brainer learned that disturbing truth after criticizing a friend for offering porn channels at his Florida hotel chain.
And he goes, well, you know, to be honest with you, he goes, you know who the biggest consumers of this pornography is? And I was like, what? And he named a certain denomination. He said, when they do their convention down here, my sale in pornography goes through the roof.
Brainer ministers to tens of thousands of Christian teens on the road and at a youth camp he leads near Durango, Colorado.
90% of the kids that come to us that come from Christian families that are interested in Christian values, that are learning about Christian worldview, 90% of those are deeply addicted to pornography.
As Shelley did research for a book on the addiction, she surveyed Christian women and girls and found many producing their own porn by sexting.
Their Christian teen girls, 21% admitted to sending a naked photo of themselves to someone else through their cell phone.
It's almost like you don't want to send me that picture. Why? Everyone else does. I've asked your friend, she sent it.
And this addiction can be just as bad as the hardest drugs. The group Fight the New Drug shows this video about how the brain releases addictive levels of pleasurable chemicals when a person sexually satisfies themselves with porn. Synaptic paths formed in the brain call out for more and more of this satisfaction.
A kid that is addicted to pornography or starts looking at pornography at 13, 14, 15 years old begins this synaptical connection in the brain that it's like a muscle, it's like working out. It becomes stronger the more that you work it.
The addicted brain then develops stronger cravings for harder stuff to get the same level of satisfaction. And nowadays, it's right there waiting on the internet. Experts sounded the alarm recently at the Christian Witherspoon Institute.
A teen today can access hardcore material that 15 years ago, a seasoned purveyor of pornography would have had a hard time to acquire.
Therapist Jill Manning says this is detrimental and dangerous.
When is a human being ready to process a rape scene, torture, bestiality, incest, child pornography?
It's ruining the way many young men now look at women.
There's no question that now a woman is something to be of conquest.
We're missing her spirituality, we're missing her beauty, we're missing her strengths because we're only desiring one piece.
And studies are showing it's making many men and women almost incapable of enjoying sex with their own real-life partners.
There is increased risk of separation and divorce. There's less sensitivity in their marriages. There's decreased sexual satisfaction and decreased sexual relations.
So the teens of today need to realize they may be risking their own future marriages.
Pornography used to be something so dark and scandalous it was kept in the shadows. What's going to happen to our kids in a world where it's omnipresent, available anywhere, anytime? Paul Strand, CBN News, reporting from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Isn't this a tragedy?
Oh my goodness.
Isn't this a tragedy?
Wow.
Look what is happening. I mean, you can see that we have such a moral decline, you know, and you're seeing it everywhere. Listen, it's a $97 billion industry. We're talking about pornography, and every year it makes more than the top tech companies, Amazon, Apple,
wow,
Microsoft, Netflix, eBay, Google, and Yahoo combined.
Oh my, wow. Combined?
Combined. Listen to me. I mean, this is huge.
Wow.
Dude, just not too long ago, Apple was rated the number one, you know, the top earning company in the world.
Right.
Think about this. How powerful and this grip of darkness has just locked it into the world, into our adults, our children. Mm-hmm. Our children. They say that, listen to this. Every second, 28,000 people, 28,258 people are looking at an X-rated material online every second. Mm. Within that 4 minutes of the clip that we just played, 6,781,000 people were viewing pornography. Mm. Within that last 4 minutes, the length of that video.
My goodness.
And the children are younger and younger and younger, being exposed as early as 11 and 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. This is horrible. And what's What's getting really horrible about this, what's getting really about this, is how it's become commonplace. Listen to this. It's an astounding. They're saying the CBN reports that 67% of men and 49% of women now say porn is acceptable. You're looking at a shifting in the culture. I mean, it matters. It matters what you let your children watch on TV. It matters what you watch on your TV. Let me tell you something. Absolutely. If it's not good enough for your children, it ain't good enough for you.
Right.
You know, you say, well, the children can't watch this. No, you can't watch this. If it's not good enough for the children, it's not good enough for you to see. Mm-hmm. And the television programs, the commercials. I mean, you really have to be vigilant. You really got to be vigilant with the TV. Because now they're you know, you had to, we recently talked about Angus T. Jones, who gave his life to the Lord, who's the star on the show Two and a Half Men, who recently got saved and is telling people not to watch his show because the show is filth. It's a sexually charged show. Mm-hmm. And the thing about these programs is that they make sin, they try to make sin as cool.
Right.
And acceptable. Acceptable, and it's the norm. And let me tell you something. God says this is not the norm. Mm-hmm. You think about the music. I mean, most of this music and subcultures is sexually charged and sexually driven. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago when I was in the insurance industry, I went to a customer's house, and this little girl in the driveway, and she's singing that she could have been more than 10, maybe 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing the music play in the background, and I'm hearing her rap along to the song, mm-hmm. and the song says, "It's getting hot up here, and it's time to take off all your clothes." And this was an anthem song during, you know, I guess that the summer period or whatever. Mm-hmm. You think about, what in the world is an 11-year-old child doing? What is anybody doing singing that song?
Right, exactly.
And it's a serious issue. I mean, and then, you know, to boot, oftentimes the church doesn't even want to talk about sex, doesn't even bring sex up. Mm-hmm. And listen, sexual desire is of God, and it can't be stopped, but just like the desire for food can't be stopped. This is sexual desire is from God, but it can be steered by the power and the grace of God.
But of course, always in the context of marriage.
Always in the context of marriage. Right. Let me tell you something. When we do it God's way, there are benefits, but we can see the ramifications and the results for not doing, you know, not doing it God's way. Mm-hmm. You look at the exposure. One thing that came out that in this piece was that children in particular, mm-hmm. and anyone right now, but in particularly children, they are tempted more every second than in any generation that's ever lived.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
You know, when it's something about a thought, once a thought gets wedged in your mind, you got to contend with that thought.
Got to.
And if you're constantly being exposed, if there's billboards, if there's signs, you can't go to the checkout line. The checkout line in a grocery store without some half-naked picture up on a magazine.
Yep. Right.
And we need to guard ourselves. We cannot 67% of men, 49% of women now say that porn is acceptable. This is not acceptable. Right. They just given up and accepted it, that this is how it's going to be. You know, you have children, and I encourage if your children have electronic devices, you want to monitor them. We'll talk about some tools that you can get as a parent, tools for yourself as an adult, that you can get to put some distance in between, you know, all of this sexually explicit content, charged material that's out there and content that's out there. But it used to be that if someone wanted to get to some pornography, like the article said, this was a dirty thing. Someone would have to go maybe to the opposite end of town. Mm-hmm. They would have to go to a store and purchase some sort of material or a book. There was some distance between that initial temptation and that thought. Mm-hmm. There was some time.
Right, and some interaction with somebody else, usually. Yeah, well, like a clerk.
Right, well, before, you know, mm-hmm. someone went to have access to it, that, you know, God could have spoken to him. Somebody could have intervened during that time. The person could have been tempted and they could have said, you know what, Lord, forgive me. I'm not going to give in to this temptation and back off. But now with the internet, where you have, at your fingertip, as quick as you think it, it can be searched. And these phones, they're like electronic devices. Recently, and we're going to talk about this hopefully today, talking about the majesty of God later in the extra hour. You don't want to miss that. But we're talking about how 58% of people, according to a mobile study, check their cell phones every hour. All sorts of notifications. If you don't have it, it's not just important that you you don't equip your young child with an access basically to a loaded gun.
Right.
You wouldn't give your child a loaded gun. That's what you're doing. You're giving a child a cell phone that's unmonitored.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't have any protection on it. And you may not give that to your child, but guess what? Your child at school has friends that have unmonitored iPhones and Androids and all types of stuff, and they're watching YouTube, all types of stuff during class time. You got to talk to your children. That's one of the things about this that really saddens me, that our children's innocence is being robbed at an earlier and earlier and earlier age. We have to talk to the children about sex. We have to talk to them about how God created it as beautiful The world is just trying to pervert it, and how the enemy is trying to manipulate a pure sexual desire that God gave us to our detriment. This is horrible. And the statistic that just blows me away is it's the 67% of men and 49% of women that have now just totally given themselves. The Bible speaks about this in Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile. Listen to me, their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. The word futile means incapable of producing any result, ineffective, useless, not successful. Think about that. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, images made to look like mortal man. Yeah. We exchange the glory of God for a Photoshop airbrushed illusion.
Right.
And it's like, come on. Therefore, look, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies one to another. When you have girls, our daughters are sexting from their bed. They're watching their phones. They're not going to sleep. They're playing around, text, don't tell them what they're doing. And the sexting is when they're taking a sexual naked picture of themselves and they're sending it to somebody else. Think about that. That 21% of Christian girls, of professing Christian girls, are sending a naked photo of themselves to someone else through a cell phone?
Crazy.
Crazy. You know, and you hear the youth pastor talk, getting onto his friend about, all the pornography that's available in the hotels. It says, listen, some of my biggest customers when the Christians come in for their conventions, they're the ones that order it all up. Listen, we've got to repent. We got to get this right.
We
got to get this right. This is an affront to God. This is a sin to God. God says that we're to honor the Lord with our bodies.
That's right.
And it's producing great dysfunction. We're seeing the judgment on the land. We're seeing it. And children to these days are more sexually active than they've ever been.
Right.
Young girls now more than ever, 11, 12 year olds are getting pregnant. Pregnant. I remember when I was a youth pastor, we got a call from a middle school asking us to pray because within the first week of school, the 12-year-old girl, the sixth grader, was already pregnant.
Wow. 12.
You know, and it's not a game, but what we tolerate and what we accept as normal, we accept sin as normal. You're looking at a nation that's being judged. You're looking at a nation that is just being, you have more sexually transmitted diseases now than you've ever did in the 1950s.
All right.
They have that HPV, human papilloma, I can't even pronounce it, but it's HPV.
Yeah.
And that sexual sin is basically, it causes a woman to have cervical cancer. And it's cost $1,000. My understanding is it's cost $1,000 to get a blood test to find that they actually have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is not good. So what can we do?
Well, John, it's just like you were talking about earlier. It all goes back to that it's not being talked about. You know,
right.
The church isn't talking about it. The parents aren't talking about it. But if they do talk about it, they're talking about it in a negative way, in a dirty way. But,
exactly.
You know, like you said, but it's something that God created. God instituted it in the, you know, it's supposed to be in marriage, and it's supposed to be a beautiful thing between a man and a woman who are married. But it's just being made to be this perverted, dark, ugly thing. And then, so, you know, they're being told no in a certain way, you know, don't ever do this thing, you know. And so, but, you know, when you tell a child no, you know, without explaining it to them in a healthy way, in a proper way, you know, that they tend to seek that out. Well, why are they telling me no? What is this thing about?
Right.
Help me out. Help me out. You know what I'm saying? You know, give me some help. Let's talk about it. Passion denied.
Perverts.
I
was thinking the same thing. That HPV you're talking about, it's human papillomavirus.
Papillomavirus, yes, HPV. And so now you're seeing sex trafficking. I don't know if you've seen this, and we support Exodus Cries, a ministry that helps to rescue sex. Girls have been trafficked for sex.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a documentary called Nefarious, and it is eye-opening. Mm. I mean, women that have been abducted all over the world. I mean, it's just...
It's not just women either, it's boys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Boys
yes.
and girls.
Mm-hmm. And it's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, it's happening in the United States. Mm-hmm. It's not just as you think it's something that's off. No, it's happening in the United States here alone. So we need to maintain a level of purity.
Right.
We God calls us to be pure, to live holy before Him. And we can start putting barriers. I'm going to tell you, you got to start putting barriers. You got to start putting some distance between you and the computer, you and the television, whatever it is that this pornography is coming over, whatever device. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to put some distances.
You've got to.
It's
so easy to stumble on, even accidentally.
You're
not even looking for it, and it's in your face.
Well, that's how they're saying most children are doing. They're doing research. They're probably Googling, and something will pop up. You know, they have protection that's available. There's this program called Be Secure.
Exactly.
Highly recommended.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is BSECURE.
Right, letter B, then secure.
Yeah, and for a nominal fee, to me, it's just priceless.
Doesn't matter what it costs.
Yeah,
We keep it on all of our computers.
That's right. How can you have a computer in the home that's not even protected?
Mm-hmm.
You got it because,
like
you know...
Like you said, it's a loaded gun just sitting there.
Just sitting there. And these days, I mean, parents are working, they're busy, they're doing all, and not even knowing. If you put the phone in the kid's hand, it's like, ma'am, what do you think he's doing? You know what I'm saying? What he's like, come on
now. Who could he possibly be talking to?
Right. What? He's so intrigued. She never comes out of the room. It's like, hello?
Mm.
Hello?
Wonder why.
And so, you know, I want to make sure that we're just not talking about the children. The children learned it somewhere. They had access somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Right. This is something that is affecting men, women, more and more women are being addicted to pornography. And so we have a role to play, especially as believers, as Christians. We got to get, listen, we want a great awakening. We want the glory of God. God can't bless us if we're involved in deep gross sin like that, we're being totally taken down. Mm-hmm. It's a strategy. It's a strategy. It's a tool by the devil to pervert what God actually instituted, and this seduction, if you will, pulling you away to be enticed. Enticed. James talks about this. James says it like this, the book of James. When tempted, James 1:13, when tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone.
Right.
But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Mm. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death.
Right.
I mean, there's a stage, there's a process that occurs. Mm-hmm. You know? So, Chris, I think you hit the nail right on the head. We got to start talking about it.
That's right.
You got to start talking about it. You got to start talking about how God created us,
mm-hmm.
how the enemy's perverting us.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about the world, the church,
mm-hmm.
right. and barriers that we can put in between that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a Christian rapper by the name of Lecrae, and he wrote this rap song, and he's talking about seduction, and he's talking about, I mean, obviously you put pornography in there, but he's talking about how it's a killer, but he calls it Killa, K-I-L-L-A. Mm. And he hear this song and listen to these lyrics.
Don't kill me, but I just can't let it go. And the taste of appealing's got a grip upon my soul. These honey dip lies mesmerize me. Cries got its crooked fingers twisted out inside me. Fools walk the path I'm on, never to be seen again. Sipping on seduction while we eating on some secret sin. Says a whisper in my ear, and I know I should be over this, but I ain't seeing clear, and I ain't leaving here unless somebody save me. Walk into my grave, letting evilness enslave me. Evil looks so lovely, covered in her lace of lies, and a silky smooth seduction just manipulates my mind. Her fabric of fabrication is fueling my fascination. While I'm intoxicated, she starts her assassination. Losing all my honor and my years to the merciless, giving all my life away, but I'm just so immersed. Down the drift, so don't let her consume you. Even though her heart is black, her exterior is beautiful. She'll take your life away and strip away your joy. Pretends that she gon' build you up, but she just gon' destroy you. My friends fell low when they were so high. Got me running scared of myself, no lie. And I know I'm gon' die. I try cold turkey, but when I'm feeling worthy, Satan sure up trying to murk me. I'm doing myself dirty, flirting with what's perverted. I should follow the word, but I guess I'd rather be murdered. Excuse me, I mean martyred, cause I'm killing myself. My sin conceived a baby, and we gon' name her death. Breath, take it, she take my breath away. Replaces it with poison, and I'm so swept away. I need some prayer today. Hope I wake up before they start my wake up. Somebody make me break up. I'm dating a
killer.
Wow, what powerful lyrics.
That's powerful.
The lie, baby, this is innocent. Mm-hmm. This won't hurt. You know, and it's like, no, you're going to destroy me. You're going to kill me. Mm-hmm. You're trying to seduce me and take away my authority. This, this is all it's all about, trying to take your authority in God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't let your authority be taken. You know, the word says, but you who are spiritual, if someone else is in sin, you who are spiritual, lift them up. I mean, one of the things that the church is guilty of is shooting its own wounded. And if somebody's struggling, you're struggling today with pornography and you're battling, you hear what we're saying here today, you know, conviction and condemnation are two different things. If the Lord's convicting you, then you can repent, you can get help, you need to get accountable, you need to get some protection.
Right.
But don't let the enemy beat your head in and condemn you, because God doesn't condemn you.
That's right.
He doesn't accuse you, nor should we as believers. We got to be, anyone's susceptible to the enemy's attacks.
That's right.
So when you start accusing and judging, you open yourself wide open for those same things to come against you or against your family member. Like, it's amazing how much compassion someone has if it's their family that's being attacked.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And listen, it's something that we need to definitely pray about. Listen, when 20% of the women in the church, 20% of the women allegedly in the church and 50% of the men allegedly in the church are addicted to pornography, hello?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So something that we definitely have to pray about, be vigilant about, and get some accountability. Get some accountability. Get someone in your life if you're, you know, women with women, men with men, but get some accountability that's going to help you in this area where you're going to be able to have someone hold you accountable and walk you through this process of getting set free. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Have you ever wondered why that you did not live when they were, you know, figuring out the wheel? Why did you not live when they were figuring out how to write on papyrus when the Roman Empire was developing? You know, why did you not live when the Puritans or the Pilgrims or George Washington, you know, why did you not live when America was birthing at that time? You know, there's a reason that you were born right now. There's a reason that you were born in this generation. God has got a plan for your life. You are part of a chosen generation. And if you want to find out what God wants to do in your life, bring into pass this end time church, this end time move of God, find out more. VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. VFNU.org. Check us out.
Steve, I got great news.
Tell me.
Did you know that there's an app on how to build a fire?
Really?
Yes, it's an app, how to build a fire, okay?
All right, lemon twigs. I need that one. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes, you do. You definitely need that one.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's free. Don't cost you nothing to hook you up. But guess what else there's an app for?
Drying the wood.
Nope. VFN Radio.
Nice.
Does it matter if you have an iPhone? Does it matter if you have a Droid? VFN Radio has an app for that. All you need to do is go to your app store and search VFN TV and hit download. And it's VFN Radio on the go. So no matter if you're at home, no matter if you're in the car, you're at the beach, you're at the park, you can stay plugged in, you can be encouraged, and you have so much access to so much more. Download the app now, VFN TV.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. What was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, You can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on Fill the Stadium Now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat and Chris. In the first hour, we've been talking about pornography, the effects on teenagers and children as early as 9 and 11 years old being exposed to pornography. 21% of Christian girls admit to sexting while they're laying in their beds at night before they go to bed, while the parents think they're sleeping. Mm. Listen, we have a problem.
Right. Definitely.
This is huge. But let me tell you something. This is why we talk every single day about abiding. This is why we talk about having an abiding relationship with the Lord. Absolutely. One of the reasons. But listen, abiding, spending time with God daily, reading His Word, hiding His Word in His heart. The Bible says that I hid God's Word in my heart so that I would not sin against you. Mm-hmm. That when we're praying and communicating with God, it's our opportunity to pray, ask God for strength, as well as confessing before the Lord your sins. Mm-hmm. You know, and it is so important. So you got to keep a guard. But the scripture that we were talking about, that, you know, real quick, that we mentioned, that, you know, sometimes a church, the church can't get on a righteous soapbox and try to tell the world to get straight and get the sin out of their sexual sin out of their life.
Right.
When the church is being totally taken down with pornography.
That's right.
I mean it's beyond hypocritical. And we can't shoot our own wounded. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Mm. I mean, come on, we got to get real.
That's right.
You got to get real. But get the protection that you need. And we talked about this, and want to just remind you again, get accountable. Nothing like being accountable to another person in your life. You know, expose what's happening. Repent from what's happening. You know, embarrass the devil before the devil embarrasses you. Just get it out. Get the protection on your devices. You know what? It may be appropriate for a season and for a time for you to get away from all your devices. It's absolutely okay to turn off your television. It's totally okay to not have internet. It's totally okay to get rid of your smartphone and to get a phone that you're just able to send, you know, get calls back and forth with no internet connection. That's totally okay, but you got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
So that you can be free.
Amen.
So you can put distance between that that's trying to tempt you and take you down and take your children down, and communicate with the family, communicate with the children, talk to them and let them know what's happening so that, you know, as a family and as a whole, everyone can be set free and be delivered.
Right.
You can't get out what you tolerate. Mm-mm. And that involves everything from television to music. That's why music is so powerful. You think, well, they're just listening to music. Are you kidding me? Most of these rap songs, which is one of the most highly, you know, popular music of these days, they're filled with violence and sex innuendos and all these different type of things. And let me tell you something. Garbage in, garbage out. Mm. The Bible says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings the good things stored up in him, and the evil man brings the evil things stored up in him. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy when your child is singing, it's getting hot in here, it's time to take off all your clothes. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think? I mean, come on now. It matters what we're putting in our ears. It matters what we're putting before our eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, and the eyes will get darker and darker and darker and darker and darker.
Right.
I mean, maybe that's why only 19% of the church is actually spending time and abiding with God. Mm-hmm. So let's continue to pray, but let's look at getting free, getting free. And with that, you know, with that, pal, Chris, I want to share that Jesus even shares a parable in Luke 18:9. Just happens to go with what we're talking about here today in the first hour. And as we're coming closer to the first hour, I want to share this parable. But he shares this parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Luke 18:9, he says to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone, on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. What's this? To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And Jesus is like, let me just share a little story here with you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men. Right. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, right. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He will not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Mm. Now, come on. Anytime that we see Jesus speak, share, or do something in the Bible, in the scriptures, I believe Jesus does everything for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. There is not one line, one word, one verse of scripture in God's an infallible word that was not meant to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jesus was going to say anything and it's recorded, let me tell you something. We need to pay attention. There's a reason why Jesus communicated this. He said to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. He tells this parable for a reason. Listen, pride is no joke. Pride is overestimating one's importance while underestimating somebody else's. It's overestimating your own importance while underestimating somebody else's or their value. Right. And this Pharisee got caught up. I mean, the Bible tells us, listen, when you pray, don't pray in the street corners and in the public squares and in the synagogues that men can see you. First thing he did was just stand up.
Right.
I don't look at pornography. You know what I'm saying? I don't sleep with that. I don't, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right. You know, praise God. I mean, great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. Give me a break. Self-righteousness. How can you minister to people if you're looking down to people?
Mm-hmm.
God did not call us. We're not to be walking around self-righteous. We're there to be able to have compassion and to help those who have been attacked.
That's right.
Those who are being taken down.
Mm-hmm.
And so in man's eyes, This Pharisee was seen as religious. He had it all together. He had the flowing robes. He had the holy bent head when he prayed. I mean, he had it.
A leader in the church.
Yeah, got the Jesus pin going on. I mean, he had the latest worship CDs. The guy, you know, went to all the seminars. Lord help us. And it's like, really? Really? You had confidence in your own righteousness, in your own right standings, in your own ability to do things before God and man that you thought were right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a misplaced confidence. You know, Jesus is trying to tell us, listen, you need to have confidence only in me. The only confidence we should have is in the Lord, is in God. Not self-righteousness in the fact that you pray, that you fast, that you abide, that you tithe, No, listen. It's not about that. We need to be able to have confidence in the Lord. We need to be like the tax collector. The tax collector was just humble. The tax collector went down and he said, look, Lord, it's not about, I'm just going to cry out. I'm going to repent for my own sin. I'm going to stand at this and I'm going to say, Lord, you are what's more important. Listen, we can learn a lot. We can learn a lot from this parable. Mm-hmm. God didn't call us to be self-righteous. God called us to be humble, and God called us to depend totally on him, to compare our righteousness in view of his. He is the righteous one because he saved us. His righteousness is ours.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.